well. Please turn with me in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Take time, we'll read verse 1 down to verse 10. Well-known portion of Scripture. No doubt you may have it marked in your Bible. You maybe have memorized this, apply it to your own life. But we pray today that the Lord will give us help afresh as we seek just to meditate upon it. Today I want to speak about, with the Lord's help, on the thorn in the flesh. And God willing, in a number of weeks' time, on the 31st of December, when we're back in the will of God, I want to speak on grace is sufficient, sufficient grace. So the thorn in the flesh, and then the part two will be in a number of weeks' time. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he saith me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to his own inspired word. We'll seek the Lord now, praying over this word, a word that say you've memorized, no doubt. We'll ask God to help us now as we seek to meditate. Lord, we need thy help just now. Confess, O God, without thee we can do nothing. Lord, we need thee just now. We pray for the weakness of this preacher, for all the inabilities and all these other things. Lord, we pray that it'll not be a distraction or a hindrance to the people here. But Father, we pray that thou'll apply thy word to every single heart. Lord, we pray if there's any here that's not saved, O God, today, that they would come to Jesus Christ and look full in his wonderful face, that they would taste and see that the Lord is good. We pray, O God, for thine own people this day. Lord, may we have that closer walk with thee. Lord, through the trial of the storm, may we see our Savior in the midst. Lord, help us, O God, just now. Draw us back, we ask of thee, for the Savior's sake. Amen. Throughout Scripture, Christ and the apostles address the subject of trials, sufferings, and burdens, that they are the appointed lot of the church. Christ and the apostles said that you would have tribulation in this world. James also addressed the church and he said, count it all joy when they would fall into divers temptations. And the word there, temptations, means trial. And therefore, they were to count it all joy, not if they would, but when they would go into trials and temptations. We know as well when Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. And therefore, suffering, afflictions, trials, and burdens are the experience of every child of God. Every child of God who seeks to live for Jesus Christ, seeks to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, will experience some part in their life a time of trial, a time of suffering. Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 summarizes his trial, his suffering, under the title of the thorn in the flesh. A thorn in the flesh that was given to him by God. And though Paul had this thorn, though Paul had this struggle, though Paul had this battle every single day for a period of 14 years, as we read there at the start, yet Paul could say what the Lord said to him, "My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And if you look there with me at verse 9, it says, "For he said unto me, my grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And that word there, made perfect, it signifies to be clearly revealed or to complete. And therefore we ask the question, how is the suffering, how is the strength of Christ more clearly revealed, more clearly seen? It is through times of suffering. It is through times of trial. And therefore we would have to say, during those times of suffering, during those times of trouble, the Lord's grace has been clearly revealed, clearly demonstrated to each and every one of his people. We could say, in my times of weakness, he and he alone has been my strength. And therefore, I want to speak with you today on the thorn in the flesh. A lot is said about this thorn in the flesh. There's a lot of debates, a lot of stuff people have written about it. What is the thorn in the flesh? Also, the messenger of Satan, and you may take a different view in me today, I don't know. But nonetheless, we pray that God will give help in the ministry of his word. Notice, first of all, concerning this thorn in the flesh, there is the pain of the thorn in the flesh. The pain. And I want you to see that this pain is a piercing pain. For Paul says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." And the word there, thorn, it simply means a pointed piece of wood, a stake. You could say it like this in our day, it would be like a splinter. And Paul uses this here as an object lesson to teach a spiritual truth, that there is a thorn in the flesh. I don't know if Paul at some point or witnessed someone else who had a literal thorn in the flesh, something there, a splinter in their hand. And maybe you have had one before yourself. And you know what it is when you have a splinter you have in your hand. It takes time. You sit there and you have to sit and hook it out and sit and pick it out like that there. And it draws you aside for a second. Whatever you're doing, you have to stop what you're doing, because all you can think about at that time is this splinter. I have to get this out. And then you would get a needle. You may get a knife. You may get your teeth and start to try and bite it out. Whatever it may, you may do to try and get this splinter out. And Paul is simply saying that as a literal thorn in the flesh, you can feel it's there. You know it's there. You can feel its presence. So spiritually, the trial, the trouble that I have, this thorn in the flesh, it's piercing me every single day. I feel it's there. I know it's there. This thorn, whatever it may be, we don't know, but whatever it may be, Paul's saying, it's there, I feel it every single day. It's piercing into me. It's not long when I get up throughout the day, I can feel it's there. This thorn that is in the flesh, I feel its presence. And there may be someone here today that you're going through a trial, you're going through a struggle. You have a thorn in the flesh, an affliction, whatever it may be. He said, we don't know. Paul said it was in the flesh. And many have let their mind run with imagination, some saying it was his eyesight, some saying it was his back, some saying it was a friend that he had who gave him trouble. So many people have so many things, I'm not going to waste time on speculation, but I simply say this here, it does not matter what this thorn in the flesh was that Paul is speaking about, because the truth is still the same. Jesus Christ is the answer to every thorn in the flesh, every trial, every suffering. Because we can identify with Paul. Though we cannot say what this thorn in the flesh is, but you can apply it to your situation. Maybe sorrow, maybe bereavement, maybe a bad back, maybe bad eyesight, maybe bad hearing, maybe going through a hospital situation, whatever it may be. You can say, there has been given to me a thorn in the flesh, something that I battle with every single day, and I wake up, and it's not long before I wake up, and I feel it's there. And Paul knew what it was. And therefore, we can always look to Jesus Christ, because he is the God-man. He is the mediator of the covenant. He is the one who came into this world to take our true humanity. Though he was man, he never ceased to be God. And therefore, he is identified with his people. He is identified with sinners. He is the sympathizing Savior, our great high priest, one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And again, that word touched in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it signifies to sympathize with. And we have a Savior who sympathizes with us. He knows what we feel. He knows what we go through. Because while he lived in this earth, he suffered every sorrow known to man. Whether it's sorrow, he was rejected. He knew loneliness. He knew what it was to be persecuted. He knew what it was to be in poverty. He knew what it was to experience death. He knew what it was to experience sorrow whenever Lazarus died. All these things. And yet we can look to Jesus Christ today. Because though you may not be able to say what Paul's thorn in the flesh is, yet we can identify it with what we're going through and say, preacher, that's right. I feel it. I know this pain. It's piercing me, this struggle, this bereavement, this thorn in the flesh. But I can look to Jesus Christ because his grace is sufficient for me. And therefore also, not only was this pain, thorn in the flesh painful, but it was also physical. Because Paul said it was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. And we said there that Paul was a great servant of God, one who was used mightily of the Lord. You read there, take time to read chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, and you'll see if all the things that Paul suffered through, all the sufferings, the persecutions, and then after in the chapter 12, there was also added to him this thorn in the flesh. Yet Paul was a man dedicated to Christ. He was a man who served Christ. He lived for the Lord every single day. He was a great theologian. He was one who loved the Lord. And yet Paul was not exempt from trial and from suffering. And therefore, dear child of God, you may live close to the Lord every single day, but that will not stop trial and suffering coming into your life. But in the opposite, the Lord sends trials, the Lord sends suffering to increase our faith and to strengthen us. And as Paul was given this thorn, notice what Paul said. There was a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And Paul could feel this personally. You see, the Lord had given Paul this thorn to keep him from sin, to turn his eyes upon the Lord, to draw him closer to the Savior. But at the same time, Satan takes all the trials, all the thorns that the Lord gives us, and turns it in to take us away from God, to try and get us to curse God, to try and get us to think that if he loved you with an everlasting love, if he loved you as he said he would not send you through this trial. Sure, look at the heartbreak. Look at the sorrow. Look at the suffering that you're going through. Look at the pain you're going through. Surely, if this Savior loved you, if this God loved you, you would not be experiencing that there. And how a messenger of Satan comes to try and get us to turn our minds from the Lord, to curse the Lord, to say, that's it, I'm not coming back anymore, and I'm closing the book, and I'm not praying. And therefore, Paul could say, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. You look through Job chapter 1, and you read about Job, a man who was upright, a man who was perfect, blameless before the Lord, a man who eschewed evil. And the word there, eschewed evil, it means to depart from evil. And Job was a man who served the Lord. Job was a man who departed from evil. He lived a godly manner in his life. But we learn that Job was tested by the Lord. God allowed Satan to tempt him. It says there in Job chapter 1, verse 9, the Satan said, doth Job fear God for naught? And Satan's accusation was, Job is only serving you. Job is only living for you based on all he has, all his family, his possessions, his house, all these great material things. Doth Job fear God for naught? But if those were to be taken away, if they were to be touched, if his family were to be touched, If his possessions were to be touched, then Job would turn his back on you. He would curse you. He would forget you. And therefore, we know that God said that to Satan that he could touch all around Job. He could touch everything that belonged to Job, but he could not just touch. He could not touch Job himself. And we know that Job lost his family, lost his house, lost his possessions, lost all his things. And at the end of his life, obviously, they were given back again in a greater measure. But when Job was put through this trial, when he was put through this affliction, this sorrow, this bereavement, this heartbreak, what was Job's response? Job chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Here is my God, my Savior. He is sovereign. His way is perfect. He can do what he wants in my life. I am his. He can do what he wants. He can guide me whatever way he wants. My family are his. My children are his. My possessions are his. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He may take away my possessions. He may take away my family. He may take away my wife. He may take away my husband. He may take away my health. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Job's wife, she turned round and said, curse God and die. But we learned, what did Job say? It was said about Job, in all this, Job sinned not, nor foolishly charged God. Why? Because that morning, in Job 1 verse 5, Job had spent time at Calvary. Job had spent time around the precious blood. Job had spent time at the sacrifice thinking about the cross of Calvary. Now, whenever he had his family devotion and his family altar of how the blood was shed, and he offered up that burnt offering which speaks about the Lord Jesus Christ and his one offering for sin. And Job looked forward to the cross. He looked forward to that day my Redeemer liveth. He looked forward to that day when Christ would come. And therefore, he shed that blood, pointing to the Lamb of God, the one who would come into this world to take away our sin. And therefore, child of God, get to the cross, get to Calvary, get to the blood shedding. Because whenever you have an accuser, you have an attacker who'll come to try to get you to turn from the Savior, you get straight to Calvary and say, Lord, I am thine, Lord. I belong to you, Lord. You shed your blood for me. You died for me, Lord. You love me with an everlasting love, Lord. Therefore, Lord, give me help to bear this trial, to bear this struggle. Job could get through that trial that day because he had spent time at the cross. He had spent time looking towards the Savior. Maybe there's one here today and you're not saved, and you're going through the trials of the day without the Savior, and you're depending upon internet and programs and all these different things. I say, get to Calvary. Get to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only refuge for the soul, the only Savior for the sinner. Have you met my Jesus, dear unsaved one? Have you come to the Lamb slain for sinners? This was the messenger of Satan, the one who came to try to turn me away from the Lord. Notice also this pain was persistent, because says there, to buffet me. And the word buffet literally means to cut off the ear. We translate it to strike with the fist, to punch, to blow. It's used in Matthew chapter 26, verse 27, referring to our Savior. They did spit in his face and buffeted him. And others smote him with the palms of their hands. That's how that is used. They smote the Savior. And what Paul is saying here, that this trial, though this thorn has been given to me by the Lord, that I may be drawn closer to him, yet Satan has come with all his hordes, with all his messengers, to turn this trial, to turn this affliction into something against the Lord, and it's hit me like a blow. It's buffeted me, it's punched me, it's knocked me back, it's hit me hard. It is to buffet me. And the word buffet there is in the present tense, and therefore it's continuous. It's not just one day. It's all the time. It's continually buffeting me. It's continually knocking me back. I get up during that day to serve the Lord. I get up during that day to do what I have to do. But then I get this blow, whatever it may be, and it knocks me back. It hits me back. It makes me sit down because it's a piercing pain. And it's buffeting me. And like I said, this thorn of the flesh for you, it may be that treatment in the hospital. Every day it comes and hits you with a force. It knocks you back. It may be a thought of a loved one who's passed on to the Lord's presence. And you think about them and it comes back and it hits you again. And it's this trial and it breaks your heart. And Paul's saying here, yet with this trial, with this affliction, with this thorn in the flesh, with this suffering, I still serve the Lord. I still live for Jesus Christ. Because I still have a work to do for him. And dear child of God, I don't want you to think today that because you have a trial or a burden or affliction, that's the Lord setting you aside. That's the Lord saying to you, I don't want you to serve me anymore. But you must learn that the Lord wants you to serve him. Because though you may not be able to do the things that you once did for the Lord, yet you have the great ministry of prayer. Maybe you feel like the psalmist. In Psalm 31, verse 22, in my haste, I am cut off before your eyes. Lord, in my haste, I said in my haste, I am cut off before your eyes. Lord, this trial, this burden, this thorn in the flesh you've given to me, Lord, have I been cut off? Has heaven been silent? Has heaven turned its back on me, Lord? But I want to encourage you today, the Lord still has a work for you to do. And being here, coming out to God's house is still an encouragement. You look there in Luke chapter 2. Of course, you could turn to many portions of Scripture, but Luke chapter 2, there is the lady there mentioned, Anna the prophetess, Luke chapter 2. And in verse 36 of Luke chapter 2, it says this here, that she was of great age, and lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. She was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And here we have this lady, Anna, who has now been widowed. She's 84 years old, and she's lived a long time without her husband. But she doesn't give up. She doesn't cave in. She doesn't close herself off. But she gets to God's house. She gets to the temple, and she offers praise to God. She continues to live and to serve Christ. And therefore, this thorn in the flesh that was given to Paul was given to him. It was pain. The pain of this thorn in the flesh. And Paul could feel it. Paul knew it was there every single day. But notice secondly, there is the permitting of this thorn in the flesh. The permitting of this thorn. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Here Paul is speaking about God's plan for his life. There was given to me. It's personal to me. Everyone here has a burden, a trial that is personal for them. And Paul says, there was given to me this thorn in the flesh. Only I know what this thorn is in my life. Only I can experience this pain. Everyone has a thorn in their flesh. Everyone here has an affliction. Everyone has a trial. And I'm sure if we were all to get together and say what you're going through or what you have gone through, each one no doubt would be different. And therefore Paul says, there was given to me. The Lord allowed this to happen. I didn't bring it on myself, nor did anybody place it upon me. But the Lord gave me this affliction. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Similar words are used in Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And gift. Cast thy gift upon the Lord. And the meaning of the words is simply, when you give a gift to someone, Paul's saying, or the psalmist is saying, cast thy gift. The Lord's saying through his servant that that gift that the Lord has given to you, that burden, cast it back upon him. Give him that burden back upon the Lord, because he shall sustain thee. Paul said that there was a thorn given to me. And therefore, dear child of God, whatever it is you're going through, whatever it is you have gone through, notice that God has planted, God has given it to you for his own glory and his own grace. Remember Fanny Crosby, one of the hymnists in her hymn book. At an early age, she was blind. Her mother was washing her eyes, and the ointment went in her eyes, or in the medicine, whatever it was, and she was became blind at an early age. And people used to speak to her and make her feel that she should have been seeing, and coming around words saying, like, wouldn't it be great if you could see again? And Fanny Crosby's response, now I'm changing the quote, paraphrasing, her response was, if I had one request from birth, it would be that I would be born blind from birth, because then the first person I would ever see would be my Savior. And then she went on to write that hymn, Face to Face with Christ my Savior. The Lord permitted her to have that affliction. The Lord permitted her to have that trial. Whatever trial you're going through, the Lord has permitted that trial for you. Why? That his grace will be clearly seen. That you will have a view of your Savior that you have never had before. Because not only is there the permitting of this thorn, but there's also the purpose of the thorn in the flesh. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And here we said Paul had this burden for 14 years. He has carried this thorn in the flesh for a long period of time. And Paul says, the reason why it was given to me is that I would not be exalted above measure. Remember, Paul was caught up to the third heaven, the dwelling place of God. He was in the presence of the Lord. He witnessed things that a man could not utter, and he could not speak about. And Paul's response of this was, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. What I have witnessed, I just cannot explain by words. I've been in the Lord's presence. I've heard the voice of God. I've been in the, caught up to the third heaven, the dwelling place of God. Heard unspeakable words, words which are unutterable. And whether it's in the body or out of the body, I just cannot tell. I just can't explain what I've enjoyed today. But so Paul wouldn't get a big head and run round and say to everybody else, you'll never be where I have been. You'll never enjoy the presence of the Lord as I've enjoyed the presence of the Lord. You'll never be as close to the Lord as I was close to the Lord. There was given to Paul a thorn in the flesh that he would not be exalted above measure. You see, the Lord was protecting Paul. Remember Paul, before he was saved, he was that proudful Pharisee. He was that proudful Jew. And he said in Philippians 3, verse 4, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul could say in Romans, in the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And therefore Paul, that he would not be exalted above measure, that he would not be taken to the high extremes to make himself to be better than anybody else, he was given this thorn in the flesh by the Lord. Because the Lord was working on Paul to conform him to his own image. We read there in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, Paul writing to the believers there, being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And here Paul saying to the believers, basically what God has started, he will not abandon. He will not cut it off, but God will continually work in your life. I am confident, I am persuaded that he will perform that good work. He will complete it. He will perfect it until the day he calls us home. He is still working on us as the course is in the camp He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. He's still working on each and every one of us that we may be transformed, that we may be like our Savior. You know, as Jeremiah spoke about the potter and the clay, of how that clay is remade again. When that clay is marred, when that clay needs to be reshaped, depending on what purpose the vessel is used, you'll know that the potter, there are times that he'll have to dig in deep, go down deep, and there are times he'll have to stretch the vessel as well, because some are this way and some are that way. And therefore, in our life, as the great potter would seek to mold us and shape us, he has to dig deep at times. Some he has to stretch us. And you may say, oh, Lord, you're stretching me. Lord, you're going down deeper than you went down before. Lord, that trial that you sent me through years ago, it's come back and it's buffeted me again. It's hit me harder than before. And Lord, you're stretching me this time. You're going down deeper, Lord. Because he has a purpose. He never makes a mistake. Every joy or trial is sent from above. And child of God, as you're his covenant child, purchased by the blood, he never does anything to harm you. He never does anything to hurt you. He never does anything to cause you to turn from him. But all he does is to show his love to you and to draw you closer to himself. There is the purpose of this thorn. But notice, fourthly, the petition concerning the thorn in the flesh. The petition. It says there, Paul said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. And Paul does the right thing. And the only thing to do in a time of trouble, in a time of sorrow, in a time of bereavement, in a time when you have a thorn in the flesh, a struggle, you get straight to the throne of grace to find help in a time of need. Spurgeon said this here, anything is a blessing which makes us pray. Yes, we may be lax in prayer, but all things flow even with the current. But we multiply prayers when the trials increase. And therefore, anything is a blessing which makes us pray. And Paul is here. Paul is getting before the Lord. Call on to me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. And you know yourself, when you have been placed with a situation and the doctor's word has just not been what you wanted to hear, or the situation that you're going through, whatever it may have been, and you've had to get straight to the Lord and pray and beseech the Lord like Paul. Because what did Paul say? I besought the Lord thrice. And the word besought there, it signifies to plead. It's the word parakleo. It means to draw alongside. And Paul is here beseeching. He's pleading the Lord. And what's he saying? Lord, that this would depart from me. Lord, take it away. I don't want to feel this anymore. I don't want to have this burden anymore. I don't want this buffeting anymore. Lord, every single day I have the memory. Every single day I'm faced with this bill. I'm faced with this heartbreak. I'm faced with this doctor's report. Lord, depart it from me. Remove it from me. Take it away, Lord. I'm beseeching thee, Lord. And we said that word beseech. It's used in Mark chapter 5. And it's also used in Mark chapter 1, verse 40, about the leper. When the leper came foul, and he came rotten, and he came unclean, and he came beseeching the Lord that he would cleanse him. And therefore, sinner, today, if you're here and you're not saved, oh, we pray that you will beseech the Lord in your foulness, in your uncleanness, and get to Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. Beseech the Lord. Lord, save me. Cleanse me from my sin. Beseeching the Lord. He's pleading. He's beseeching the Lord. He's crying on to the Lord. Have you ever been there? Have you got there? Maybe you're there tonight. Maybe you're there today. And you've besought the Lord thrice. Many hold that he prayed on three separate occasions. But it's amazing that Paul here is beseeching the Lord. And what is amazing, that Paul who is the great theologian, who is the great man of God who knows the Lord, yet prays in a manner that in a sense, is not according to the will of the Lord, in the sense that Paul's saying, remove it from me. You see, when we pray, whatever it may be about, we already have before we pray how, Lord, you're going to answer this, where it's going to be answered, what way it's going to be answered, this is the time it's going to be answered for. Before we come with our prayer, Lord, this is what you're going to do and this is when you're going to do it. So I'll know, Lord, this is how it's been answered. And Paul, when he prayed, never prayed, Lord, instead of departing this from me, Lord, give me grace to bear it. You see, the Holy Spirit takes Paul to a principle, and that is God hears and God answers prayer. The foundational thing for every child of God, even for the youngest of child here, God hears and God answers prayer. A yes, a no, or a maybe. And I know we all don't like the word no. We don't like, we think no isn't an answer. I remember praying for something years ago and being taught by my Sunday school teacher. I came in and I said, well, I thought this was going to be answered and I prayed for it. Well, what did you get? I said, wasn't answered. Well, isn't no an answer? I thought, well, obviously, no. Well, no, it is an answer then, isn't it? And it was put to me that if you went and asked your mum for something and your mum said yes, she would give it to you. If your mum said no, I'll give it later, then you would get it later. But if your mum said no, you're not having it, then that's your answer, isn't it? It's a no. Therefore, Paul, the Lord is teaching Paul, it's not my will right now for this to depart, to be taken from you, but I will give you grace to bear it through. And whatever the Lord tells us no, or whatever the Lord says wait a while, it's because he's always going to do greater. One man said this here, God's way of answering his people's prayers is not by removing the pressure, but by increasing their strength to bear it. By increasing their strength to bear it. And you may have prayed about your situation, and it may not be God's will to remove it. But God will say, I will give you the strength to bear it, to live on the rest of your days upon earth, because my grace is sufficient. Do you remember Amy Carmichael, born with brown eyes, and she earnestly prayed that God would give her blue eyes. I'm not going to go into all the quotes, the word by word what she said, but basically she believed that God had not answered her prayer, was praying for blue eyes. But it was only later on, whenever she was in the mission field and out there in India and in the temple, that she realized it was only because she had the brown eyes that she was accepted by the people. She was able to rescue the children and to do a great work for God. But had she had blue eyes, she would have been rejected. And therefore, in our life, God knows what he is doing, the way he has designed you, the way he has made you, the way he has led for you, the path ahead, every single thing. Nothing has been behind schedule, in front of schedule. It's been all according to God's purpose and plan in your life. Finally, the promise concerning the thorn in the flesh. Again, we'll take this up next time, but just by closing, the promise, my grace is sufficient. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient. And the word there is in present tense. And you could read it like this. He continually said unto me, my grace is continually sufficient. There's never a time, and never will be a time, through your trial, whether it's 14 years like Paul, whether it's 1 month, 2 weeks, 1 year, whatever it may be, when his grace will not be sufficient. Because the word there, sufficient, it means enough. It means to satisfy. My grace is enough for thee. My grace will satisfy me. He said unto me. And therefore, dear child of God, every time you open up the word of God, every time you get alone with the Lord, no matter how many times this trial comes back to you again and again and again, or the heartbreak or the thought, you can always read the same word. He continually says unto me, he said it to me last week, and he said it to me again today, and he'll say it today in the afternoon, and even tonight, and tomorrow, and the next day. He continually said unto me, my grace is continually sufficient for thee. Grace that is strength, grace that sustains, grace that is sufficient. And I pray today that whatever thorn in the flesh that you're going through, or the thorn in the flesh that you will go through, whatever it may be, that you can open up the Word of God and you can say, like Paul, Lord, I don't know how long this is going to last for. I know that you've given it to me. I know the devil here is attacking me, trying to make me to think ill of you. But Lord, I'm so glad that you've said, I'm not alone, because your grace will always be sufficient for me. I trust that God will help you and encourage you in the things of the Lord. We pray if you're not saved today, we're glad that there is sufficient grace for salvation, for he is able to save and forgive all your sin. We'll just unite in prayer before we sing our closing hymn. You take the time just to pray now and seek the Lord. Whether that trial you're going through, whatever it may be, you commit it to the Lord. Our Father, we realize that for many in this congregation, that thou hast brought them down ways that they would have to say, like one of old, we have not passed this way before. Lord, humanly speaking, Lord, this past year has been a year of trial, a year of trouble. Oh Lord, we entered into this year with some not expecting things to happen. But Lord, we thank thee that we could say, like Paul, that there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Lord, we're glad we could say, like the hymnist, I know who holds tomorrow. God's way is perfect, and things by him are planned. Lord, we pray, O God, just now that thou wilt give help, give encouragement. Lord, we bless thee that thy grace is sufficient. Draw near, we ask of thee, for the Saviour's sake. Amen. We'll try and sing 458. I don't know.